give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, what's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 6:03 on a Monday, right? Black Monday was last week, but it looks like Black Monday falls on this date for Doug Peterson, as you heard. And if you not heard and you're just checking in, Doug Peterson let go by the Philadelphia Eagles. Devon Gibbons with you until about 7:15 before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the Sixers pregame coverage. Sixers shorthanded once again in Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Hawks, the first game of a back-to-back set for them in Atlanta tonight, back home tomorrow for the Miami Heat. That's a whole nother story as we talk about Philadelphia sports with the basketball team in particular, and we will definitely get into that after the game when we go in the post following the Sixers-Atlanta Hawks game. So again, 7:15, we're out of here, handing things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage. Sixers-Hawks, 7:30 tip right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. But before that, we have an abbreviated show, and we want to get to what has been the big news in the NFL, certainly today, with the firing of Doug Peterson. And Jeffrey Lurie, first of all, was about 40, 45 minutes late from addressing the assembled media via Zoom to talk about the ousting of his head coach, the winner of the only Super Bowl in franchise history. Now, just 3 years ago in 2018 of February, following the 2017 season, two back-to-back appearances in the postseason in 18 and 19, and this one, of course, falling very, very short with the 4-11-1, an embarrassment of a season, one that's forgettable in terms of how things appeared on the field. His coaching job, the quarterback play, some defensive issues, certainly the miscues from the front office, a lot left to be desired with this football team this season. Then we get this, Doug Peterson, and listen, we have to give credit to Tim McManus when we would ask him straight up on with Mike earlier. Doug Peterson looks like he's going to be back. Well, not so fast. You have to give credit once again to Jeff Mosher, Inside the Birds. He was on with us Friday night. Seth Joyner of NBC Sports Philadelphia on with us Friday night. Both saying, hey, yes, it appears, but it's not locked in and set in stone because we still have to wait for that other meeting next week, which was today, and ultimately leading to the ousting of Doug Peterson. So my initial thoughts, and we'll get to yours during this abbreviated show, 610-632-0975. A lot of nothing from the owner today in relation to addressing the media for the very first time since last offseason. The very first time. And it's about the head coach and the firing, as it should have been, but also when the questions were thrown at him about other things in regards to the organization, the front office, all above, he said nothing. As Mike alluded to, and Ty as well, when they were, you know, going back and forth, listening to them to go back and forth, Natalie as well, and speaking about exactly him saying this about Doug Peterson, that he was a great guy. He did everything that we asked of him. He was fantastic. But in the end, what happened? He basically came down and said that they were not on the same page with everything. Reports come out a little bit earlier stating about the head coaching job, of course, but then the plan to redo his coaching staff, leading with Press Taylor still remaining there as the offensive coordinator. Some other names like Matt Burke and moving him from D-line coach to defensive coordinator, so on and so forth. And he wants to add something different. Not enough is popping for Jeff Lurie to make sure that Doug Peterson kept his job. Well, okay, fine. You didn't like it? It's underwhelming to me as well. I want some different stuff, whether it's from Deuce Staley to going out there and getting these other coordinators, both offensively and defensively, to take some of the pressure off of Doug Peterson, even with him loving, as he says, to play call on game days. That's the one thing that he loves to do, is to play call on game days and do what he does. Again, underwhelming. Now, we could also look at that and say, but let's look at the roster that has been put in front of him by the general manager. We'll get to him and say that this is not a winning personnel grouping altogether right now with what Howie Roseman has put on the table. Well, if that's the case, then that stuff needs to be pointed back at him. Doug Peterson, again, the defensive line coach. All right, maybe Burke is good enough, but we don't know. And for us, on the outside, a lot left to be desired, and we want to see more of a name, if you will, of somebody coming in here and having that position, whether it's Marvin Lewis or anybody else. You're sitting there and you're simply saying, no, anybody that's here, move on from them. If they were underneath Jim Schwartz, we want nothing to do with that. We want something. Maybe Doug was in the right with that, but with the way things have gone and all the reports that we've heard multiple times over the course of this season, last season, and even before, right after the Super Bowl, that Doug Peterson has basically Lurie and Roseman's hand up his back, helping him make decisions. I understand now, with other reports stating that Doug Peterson simply wanted out. He did not want to do this anymore. He was tired of listening to other people, and he wanted to make his own choices when it came to the coaching staff. Because look, at the end of the day, it's about him, his coaching staff, his decisions that will ultimately help or hurt him when it comes to his job status overall. When I was looking at Derek Gunn, who, again, of the Fanatic partner here on the Fanatic, he was my partner along with Brian Westbrook on the pregame show. And Derek Gunn reported a conversation with Doug Peterson. Very brief, quick quote. Doug Peterson just told me, quote, no worries, I'm at peace with it. All right, he had enough. He had enough of their junk. He was like, I'm moving on. And now you have to think about who's going to want to come in here. Look, people will, because maybe some first time head coach, this is the first opportunity that they're going to have. There's only 32 of these jobs in the league. Someone's going to take it. But whoever, if it's a veteran, is going to want to make his own decisions. Let's think about when Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson were hired. If you thought back to that and you said, well, when they were hired, they were here for the same amount of time, 5 years, so on and so forth. You would probably think, if you ask anybody who didn't know, well, Doug Peterson hired Jim Schwartz. No, he didn't. Jim Schwartz was hired before Doug Peterson. He did not have a chance to make his own call on that when it came to his DC, right? He did not have that opportunity to make that call. And as long as they were going to be there and continue to do that, and everything is being pointed at Doug Peterson, and I'm not letting him off the hook, because he's culpable here in a lot of stuff that happened this season. We've talked about the third, the fourth down conversions, the going for two, all of those types of things, not running the ball good enough. But if he keeps having that, and then they keep looking at the front office and saying everything is fine and everything is okay, I can understand where he simply has had enough and decided to walk out. Maybe he needed to go. Probably did need to go. No, he needed to go, right? He needed to go. But they also made a choice of Howie and Wentz over Doug. The reports came out weeks ago that things in the front office with the quarterback were also looking at a situation where they felt like they were going to move on. It was basically a power play between the general manager and the quarterback over the head coach. I understand if he wanted to get out of here for those very reasons. And then for the owner to come up there, I love Doug. He's a part of our family. He is my family. I've known him for 20 years. His family, our family, we're very close, so on and so forth. You have to separate the relationships in the building from what you were supposed to do with your work. Well, if that's the case, Jeffrey Lurie, then why? Why did you sit up there on that Zoom conference today and talk glowingly about Howie Roseman and the job that he has done, which has been, if you're going to point and say you weren't on the same page as Doug Peterson, well, Howie hasn't been on the same page with the personnel, period, with the roster, period, because it hasn't been good enough to win. And that is unfair if we're talking about fairness in sports here. That is not fair. There is no reason why Howie Roseman, outside of the relationship that he has with the owner and Jeffrey Lurie, that he still holds that titled position with the Philadelphia Eagles. None whatsoever. So let's go to our first cut here, because I know many of you are frustrated, and we'll get to your phone calls again. An abbreviated show, just a little over an hour remaining in the show before we get to Sixers basketball. 610-632-0975. The first audio that I wanted to share with you about everything that went down today and what you heard or maybe not have heard from the owner here was the fact that, you know, the parting of ways with, you know, the organization and the head coach. So here it is, Jeffrey Lurie speaking about the better for both sides if we both part ways.
Going forward, again, you have to make tough decisions. And after talking to Doug again today, it just felt that the path forward was best for us to part ways. And I actually think it's better for both the organization and for Doug. I really, really expect him to be a successful head coach in this league. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if he is on another NFL team later this week. And I'm certainly there for any owner that wants to talk about hiring Doug, because I will be, you know, a major fan.
Better for both to part ways, because Doug has simply said, I'm tired of sitting here dealing with this, and if you're not going to let me do what I need to do for my team, then there's nothing else for us to talk about. Jeffrey Lurie deciding that, oh, you're not going to listen to us anymore? Cool. You can go find, and I'll be a good resource for you when you are interviewing for the Houston Texans, and I will talk to the ownership, McNair's, the family, and make sure that you're good to go there. Come on, man. All right. Better for both to part ways. Once again, the relationship. You have to put that stuff aside and make a decision like this. All right, so yeah, cool. Roseman is willing to do whatever the ownership wants. Jeffrey Lurie, he's the one that makes the final decisions. So he's safe. Again, BS on the part of Jeffrey Lurie when it comes to that. Then he also spoke about the, this one is funny as well, the confidence in our personnel department. Here's Jeffrey Lurie.
I have real confidence that our football operations, led by Howie, can not only repeat the performance of 2016 until now, and once again create a dominant football team that can really maximize every aspects of its potential.
Okay, well, how long is that going to take? Because it sounded like for a lot of people, I heard the callers after the end of the press conference on Mike's show, that many, including Mike and Ty, right, and Nat, all believe that this is a rebuilding situation that's going to be ongoing with this football team. Because, again, he spoke about the Super Bowl, capitalizing on that, make sure that they do their best to continue to try to do just that. Take an opportunity to win. You heard Howie the other day speak about, oh, we had to pivot because of what happened with COVID. Now we can take a chance again at trying to win, because we feel like our coaching staff coming back with all these new changes in Washington, New York, and in Dallas, that we have our same coaching staff, we're going to be fine. We can take advantage of it. We'll win a division. We'll go to the playoffs. We'll try to make another run, all of that. So you know where they were, right? The thing that really stood out to me, every time it was talked about with Howie Roseman, whenever a question from any of the reporters who asked a question about Howie Roseman, I made sure I wrote it down, I highlighted it, I put a star next to it, because I was like, what? Seriously? The personnel department led by Howie. And all he kept saying was the personnel department. He was taking everything off of Howie and simply putting it together by saying the personnel department. Why do I say that again? Because he went on with another one where he had a terrible, terrible answer by simply stating over and over again that you are only as good as the people who surround you, who you surround yourself with. The personnel department. Howie has done a nice job. Howie, you have to look at the other teams around the league and their draft position and what they have done as well. No, you don't. No, you don't. We don't care about what Houston did. except for if they take a player that we wanted you to take. We don't care about the Seattle Seahawks unless you take J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and then D.K. Metcalf goes a pick later, and and we see what the result of that is, and it ultimately comes back that you were wrong on that one. Or this very one here where he speaks about the draft position and he talks about how the board is set up a certain way. If you don't get your guy, somebody else takes it. Well, you adjust. It's not even about the fact that CeeDee Lamb was your number one. Maybe he should have been your number one when it came to Ruggs and Judy and Lamb and then everybody else thereafter. It's the fact that you took Rager on your board at number two over Justin Jefferson. Come on. Come on. And then finally, before we get to the break and then get to the phone calls, overall, 610-632-0975. It's not about Doug deserving to lose his job. Here's Jeffrey Lurie.
It's not based on does someone deserve to hold their job or deserve to get fired. That's a different bar. Very few people probably after success deserve to lose their job. This is much more about the evaluation of whether the Eagles moving forward, our best option is to have a new coach. That's really, really what it's about. It's not about Doug deserved to be let go. No, he did not deserve to be let go. That's not where I'm coming from, and that's not the bar in the evaluation process.
Okay, well, that's fine. If that's what you're going to do, it needs to be fair up and down that board of your organization, including this is going to keep coming back, and at some point we may stop. But right now, in the moment, for what he said, just that, and those other two cuts that we played and many others that we have in the entire press conference that you all heard, that's bogus because, once again, we go back to the front office and the fact that Howie Roseman is still in charge of the personnel decisions that will be made going forward with the draft and free agency. And not to mention, this will be the third opportunity for him to choose a head coach. From Chip Kelly to Doug Peterson to whoever is the next head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. That press conference was a joke. The way that he said some things, all of those things, let's just call it. The only answer I remember him answering, I believe it was Mike K of NJ.com, asking about making a decision to choose a head coach and who's making that ultimate decision. He said me with a bunch of other people. That's the only clear-cut answer we got from the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, in that gathering on Zoom with the media about the Philadelphia Eagles. That press conference was a joke. It's not even about really Doug Peterson at this point. It's about the direction of this franchise and where they are going right now. Yes, Doug Peterson, it was 50-50 for a lot of people whether he should be back or not. I heard one caller, an older gentleman on Mike's show afterwards, talk about how he was glad he was going. I've taken plenty of phone calls in the evening about just that Doug Peterson is the singular problem with Carson Wentz, the offense, and they need to be moved on from, with Howie Roseman being second, and then Carson Wentz a lot of times third for this franchise. But what we just heard, what I just heard, was a bunch of nonsense from this owner. Okay? It was a joke. I didn't like anything that he had to say. This franchise is a mess right now. And yes, if he wants to bring up all the success that they've had, they are a few years removed from a Super Bowl, two playoff appearances following in 18 and 19, a terrible season in 20, and now we get ready for 21 and see what they do going forward. And certainly that will be with Howie Roseman still making decisions for this group overall when it comes to the personnel this offseason. I don't like it. Doug Peterson, fine. He'll find a job, right? He'll end up somewhere this season or next season. He'll have a gig, no worries, no problem at all. But the fact that he cannot pull the Band-Aid off of what is Howie Roseman as well, come on. Come on. If we're talking about deserving to lose his job, no, it's not about deserving to lose his job. Howie Roseman does not deserve to keep his job and keep calling the shots for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, 610-632-0975. 1-800-919-0975. Devon Givens with you until 7:15. We hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the Sixers pregame coverage. Sixers-Hawks, shorthanded Sixers once again. 7:30 tip-off right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And we'll certainly have in the post following the game tonight, leading you into midnight right here on The Fanatic. All right, 610-632-0975. Your phone calls, your thoughts on everything that you heard from Jeffrey Lurie, and your reaction to Doug Peterson being ousted as the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, 5 years in, a championship, 3 playoff appearances. Now he's looking for a new gig. They have to find someone else to come in here and take over for Doug Peterson. We'll come right back. We'll take your phone calls right here. Devon Givens with you until 7:15, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
6:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you on this Black Monday. Doug Peterson out as Eagles head coach. Changes now need to be made going further. And of course, Howie Roseman remains in his job position. 610-632-0975. As we get ready to hear from some Sixers basketball tonight, the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, again, 610-632-0975. Before we get to the phone calls, one more piece of audio. Dylan McKinnon, who's producing the show tonight, and I wanted you to hear, is again, hear about Howie Roseman, where he says, hey, Howie surrounds himself with good people.
I see the people that Howie has attracted to our organization. I think the last 2 major GM searches have all been rating our organization for whether it's Joe Douglas or Andrew Berry. He then, you know, we have about 5 people in our organization that right now I could project that will be general managers in this league. And he continually replenishes, whether it's a John Dorsey or Jeremiah Washburn, or, you know, the list goes on. I don't want to leave anybody out, but we have a real strong nucleus with Andy Weidel, Ian Cunningham, Catherine Raich, Brandon Brown. One of the jobs of the general manager is to attract really good people and executives around them, because it's not meant for one person.
Yes, and when you do that, they also have a responsibility to collectively put their heads together, right, and make the best decisions for this franchise, from the free agency, trades, obviously to the draft. And if you're naming all those people, and they're all fantastic general managers in waiting once they leave Philadelphia, because they're under Howie Roseman and the tutelage of Howie Roseman, the expert tutelage of Howie Roseman. A little go back to my Beverly Hills Cop days, right? Come on, right? Then, so what's the problem here? Why is this roster an issue here in Philadelphia? Oh, that's right. No worries. Let's give him another chance. Meanwhile, Doug Peterson, who, again, listen, we don't have to sit here and say he deserves his job and deserved to keep it, but if we're looking at who is to blame on a lot of this stuff, it's 1A and 1B. You can't separate really the two in this. Doug Peterson, not great this past season. Howie Roseman, a longer track record since the Super Bowl where mistakes have been made with the personnel overall. 610-632-0975. Jeffrey Lurie, who someone that we looked at before the Super Bowl, and we had our questions once the whole Chip Kelly fiasco, bringing Howie back. He had great reputation and a great standing within the Eagles community as far as the fans, maybe even some media, looked at him and said, best owner in the city. Then that tailed off. Then it came back, and he did it again, and it went back to, okay, we trust Jeffrey Lurie. Now he looks like he doesn't know what the heck he's doing. Nothing, except for keeping his buddy employed in the front office when it's not working out. 610-632-0975. Don't forget, Sixers basketball, 7:30. Brian Seltzer, 7:20. We're out of here, 7:15. So let's run these phone calls. Get all of your thoughts. I know people are mad about this. You're hot. You're passionate. Let's get to the phone calls. Let's go and start off in media with Sean tipping us off on this Monday night. Sean, how you doing?
I don't know, Devon.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm happy it happened, just because I don't think Doug really, I agree with, like, Mikey, he just doesn't seem like he really has a clue of what's going on. He looks confused sometimes. I think our Super Bowl run was just, we got lucky there. Not lucky, but I mean, just a lot of things had to happen for that to go on. I think we had a really good coaching staff. I think Doug listened to a lot of the coaches that were there. I think he put a lot of faith in those guys. And then I think that he kind of just, you know, figured he could do it on his own and just really couldn't. But then it goes back, and then we are where we are right now. And I listened to this press conference, and I'm like, what are you like, to hear Jeffrey Lurie say, well, a lot of times you lose players in the draft, they get drafted before the guys. I said, well, what are you talking about? So our Sega Whiteside that we picked up when everyone was telling you to pick these other four guys before him, so like no one was picked before I think Whiteside was picked. And then, so you're saying, well, we wanted to keep the band together, so that's the way you want to do it sometimes, to keep winning. Well,
yes, I know we can try to make another run, right? Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Well, the Patriots won for decades by not keeping the band together. That was their method of winning. The only guy they kept there for years was the quarterback. Everyone else was just, you know, a stopgap. And that's how their way of winning was. So it's just, none of that made sense. And he made us all think that we were stupid by, you know, listening to it. And I just thought, and yeah, Doug Peterson had a horrible year. And yes, and I really do believe that he wanted to go a totally different route than Jeffrey did. So that's kind of probably, I think Doug wanted to leave before Jeffrey wanted to keep him. I think it was kind of one of those things.
Yeah, but and the other thing with that, Sean, as you talk about that, is the fact that they wanted to continue to make the decisions basically for him. So why wouldn't he want to leave?
Well,
right?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, I don't blame him.
When you said at the top, Sean, when you said, look, Doug, plenty of mistakes, all of that, even if you were on board with the fact that he wasn't coming back before you heard this press conference, that kind of changes your mind, you know, just because of how he went out there and delivered the things that he said.
Well, and my problem was, like, with that whole Washington game, I believe that it was Howie Roseman saying, no, let's put Sudfeld in there so that way we can tank this game and get a better draft pick. And that made Doug look the fall guy for it. Like, I believe Doug is always going to be like a corporate guy, and he'll fall on the sword for everything.
Well,
and
he had enough.
and so I probably think he had enough. And that made him come out looking like the bad guy. But you know what the problem is? We'll never really know. Like, we will never really know.
A lot of that stuff, man. Listen, thanks for the call, man. Have a great night. A lot of that stuff does, in fact, come out, Sean. So I would suspect there would be some digging from a lot of people, and we'll really find out. Will we find out specifically from video and audio and watching Doug Peterson say those things that you're talking about, Sean? Probably not. But there are enough good reporters where they'll dig and find out exactly what it is. 610-632-0975. Let's next head to Chester Springs with Colin here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Colin?
Hey, how are you doing? I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm 20 years old, about to turn 21 next week. We passed up on DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson. We draft Danny Watkins. And you're telling me how he's got a job? I'm sick to my core. Dougie was a great guy, you know. He couldn't make it work here, but he's an Eagle for life. You know, we got Foles as a legend. I'm just sick to my core. I don't know where we go from here. I think we're going to be down the dumps for the next 5 years. I mean, if we don't draft Devontae Smith, I'm done. I'm burning every jersey I've ever had. I mean, I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, you forgot, Colin. You forgot about Andre Dillard, who we don't know what's going to happen there at the left tackle position going forward. Whether it's Mailata, Andre Dillard, do they draft one? Whatever it might be, we don't know. But you're right, man. The direction that they are currently going in, it doesn't look good. And he basically said it all. He basically said it. Maybe it is Devontae Smith. And don't be surprised, too, Colin, if they use that six and move back and get extra draft capital because they just need the assets to build up the youth on this roster in general. But listen, man, it is very frustrating. And I won't say burn your jerseys because Devontae Smith may not be the choice. And listen, he's a great candidate, of course, and we know about the national championship game and all and how good he is. Yeah, but yeah. I get your frustration in general.
I just feel like, you know, all the crap, all the BS we're dealing with now is because of Howie. Just because we screwed up in the past doesn't mean we pass on the Heisman, the first wide receiver Heisman player, a guy that's going to be freaking better than, I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I hear you, man. Listen, I know it's going to be a lot to take in, especially when we wait and find out who the coach is. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Hang in there. Yeah, hopefully things will get better going forward with this team. And by the way, when we talked about the defensive coordinator and making the choice for yourself, and we know right now there were some reports earlier, and Dylan McKinnon told me to check in on this one. Look, we saw some of this stuff being reported out there that the Dallas Cowboys were interviewing Dan Quinn. I know a lot of people, with Jim Schwartz now being gone, wanted Dan Quinn as a defensive coordinator. Head coaching job and the failures, especially in the Super Bowl that he had with the Atlanta Falcons. He is known to be a very good defensive coordinator. He now stays in the division. Well, not stays in the division, comes from Atlanta. He's going to be joining the Dallas Cowboys staff as the defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, and Mike McCarthy, that's going to be their new DC in Dallas. So we'll see what happens there with them. Good hire by the Dallas Cowboys. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Rajab in Bristol next on 97.5. Rajab, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, Devon? After listening to Jeffrey Lurie, I'm insulted because I'm listening to the things that he's saying, and it's like, is this guy serious? For him to sit there and say that Carson played four elite years, I'm like, what game is he watching? You know? And then to make the comments that he made about the draft and we couldn't get the... this is the reason why there are owners, and this is why there's a reason why there's player personnel, there's GMs and head coaches, because owners should not even be talking football operations, because this guy was just talking a whole bunch of crap. He never answered any questions directly when they asked him, is Carson going to be on the team next year? He never answered the question. He went and talking about this fairy tale that Carson played elite for 4 years.
Yeah, for 4 years. You go look at the top quarterbacks in history, his numbers are equal to those and all. Yeah,
right. I heard it. And I'm like, the fact he compared it to Peyton Manning and somebody else, the worst part was when he went into this diatribe about freaking Nate Sudfeld. How Nate Sudfeld had the highest completion in the debut in a meaningless Dallas game. I'm like, is this guy serious?
He was waxing poetically about him.
I could not believe what I was hearing. But the thing about it is, I was surprised they fired Doug. But I think this pretty much came down to the point where they want a head coach that they can control. Someone who's not going to rebut anything they say, who just says, yes, just a yes fan. And I think Doug was doing that, and I think he said enough, especially after what happened with the Washington game. And basically,
Rajab, go back to last season at the end of the season with Mike Groh, where he stood up there on that podium and said that my guys are going to be coming back. Groh's going to be my offensive coordinator, and the next day he was fired.
Right.
So it made him look silly, and it made it look like he didn't have control of what's going on with his own coaching staff.
Exactly. And the thing about it, I'm convinced that they told Doug to not win that last game last weekend. And now the fact that because of all of the backlash that came as a result of it, like everybody in the league is talking bad about the Eagles. So now they're like, oh, and then of course Doug ended up being the scapegoat, you know, because he made the decision. But I'm pretty sure they told him to do that. So my last thing before I go is, who do you think should come in? I'm still thinking about it, so I don't have anybody yet, but who do you think should come in As the next head coach.
Okay, Rajad, thanks for the call, man. I'll answer that.
No problem.
While you go ahead and finish, you know, go about your business the rest of the night, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Based on how they were saying it again, and I said this in the open, I wonder if, number one, look, it's the Philadelphia Eagles. They are one of 32 teams in the National Football League, so it's going to be an attractive job. But how attractive? Now, it's not the Jets. It's not, you know, before the whole situation that's going on now with the number one pick with the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not that. And I'm not saying it is bad because I pointed out it's the Philadelphia Eagles. This is one of the top organizations you would believe with the top owner, even with the nonsense that he was spewing earlier to us about this franchise going forward. There's still going to be someone that is going to want this job. But you have questions. You have a cap situation where you have no money. You have two quarterbacks where you have a quarterback problem. Not that you don't have two good ones. You don't know how good one is, the second-year player in Jalen Hurts. And you have questions about can Carson Wentz rebound and get back to who he was before, as Jeffrey Lurie talked about all those glowing statistics and comparing him to Peyton Manning and Rajab. I think it was Ben Roethlisberger, the other person that he was talking about. So without that, I don't know. He wants an offensive guy. You've already seen reports about, even before this, you start seeing Mike Kafka's former Eagle quarterback, Mike Kafka, name his name out there before. Now that Doug Peterson is no longer here and there's an opening and they are going to want somebody who they feel like they can control, if that's still what they desire as the head coach, then maybe they will go with the first timer who's just happy to get that position. So I wouldn't really look at that, and this is just guesswork at this point, as someone like Lincoln Riley, as you heard Tim talk about a couple of the candidates, Mike Kafka, Eric Bieniemy as well. Yeah, Eric Bieniemy is going to be a first-timer, Mike Kafka a first-timer, and they come from Andy Reid's coaching tree, so maybe that will also be something that they do lean on, where Jeffrey Lurie leans on Andy Reid again for some help in this particular case. But is a veteran guy going to come in here and want to deal with that? No, a veteran guy is going to want to come in here and make his own decisions on his coaching staff, both offensively and defensively, on what he wants to do. So, Rajab, I don't want to seem like I'm running away from the answer, but I don't know. I don't know, because the dynamic of the entire thing is that they may want to control and have their voices heard in this entire thing. It goes to the Washington example that you just gave with that final game where Nate Sudfeld comes in and he's sitting there waxing poetically again about Nate Sudfeld the same way that Howie Roseman did when he spoke last week with Doug Peterson a week ago today and talked about how he's earned the right to get out there on the field. He's earned the chance to go out there and play, and maybe there was some miscommunication and all, but Nate deserved to be out there and there was no problem with that. Come on, man. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 7:15, 7:20. Brian Seltzer with the pregame situation now, as we know, because it is a situation with the 76ers taking on the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta with, once again, shorthanded. Tremendous performance by Tyrese Maxey on Saturday against the Denver Nuggets. 39 points, the most by a Sixers rookie since Allen Iverson in 1996. Great performance by him. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Pottstown with Jeremiah next with us on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Devon, what's going on, brother?
Oh, man, a lot now.
It's a beautiful day in Philadelphia. It's a beautiful day. Devon, can I address Doug Peterson? Doug, I hope you're listening, because I think you're a good dude. But, Doug, you drove me crazy. You drove me crazy with your play calling, with your second half. When the Eagles are up by 3 touchdowns, Doug, and you come out in the second half, out of 19 plays, you throw the ball 17 times and run the ball twice. We lost that game, Doug. You've done it multiple times. We go back to Cleveland. Miles Sanders is running the ball on the first series. He fumbles. After that, you run the ball in the second half. three times with Miles Sanders, your playmaker, on a rainy day. It's unbelievable. You're killing me, Doug. You killed me. I am so happy that he is gone. He is a below-average head coach in this league, and he has proven it time and time over where he has left me speechless after a game. I am so happy he is out the door. I can't stand when you have a playmaker like Miles Sanders and you don't give him the ball. It's disgusting. It's disturbing as a fan. And when I have to watch them come out and double tight end set when they're averaging 4 yards a carry in that double tight end set, and they come out and they try to run play action and they get sacked because nobody thinks you're going to run the ball, dog. You're killing me.
All right,
he
so
killed me, Devon.
How about
he killed me?
And listen, that's fair. Once again, like I said, you are one of many who felt like Doug Peterson was the singular problem, and he had to move on. So now you are going to have a new coach where it doesn't, at least based on what we heard so far, where winning is going to be the goal next year. So how are you going to feel about now? This has nothing to do with Doug Peterson. This has to do with the now direction of the organization. How do you feel? Before you say your one more thing, I want you to answer me and tell me, how do you feel about this team basically seemingly starting over?
I mean, I don't know how to answer that, Devon. I want to see Carson blossom as a quarterback. I don't know. I don't know. I want them to get a receiver from that receiver from Alabama and or an offensive lineman. But I don't know how to answer that, man.
Okay, fair enough. What was your one more thing?
I'm frustrated. My one thing, though, Devon, all I can ask for you is we're listeners call you and you're on the radio. You have a voice, man. Get these guys in that organization like Howie Roseman and ask to get them on your program and hold them accountable.
I'll say this, just knowing for sure before we hang up, I know Mike has asked. They have said no. I'm sure Anthony has done the exact same. And they have said no. So that's out of the control of us. They have to agree on it. And if they don't, there's not much you can do but do the best that we can.
Well, thank you for asking, man. I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
No problem, man. Greg, thanks for the call, man. Really, really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. So that's something that the Philadelphia Eagles folks have decided against. And that's just where we are right now in regards to trying to get these people from the Philadelphia Eagle organization on. I mean, Avante Maddox is good enough to come on the weekly visit with the morning show, but you're not allowed to have anyone else come on as far as it goes with the owner or the general manager. No, you can't. You cannot do that. How dare you ask for someone to answer some questions? All right, 610-632-0975. Greg, I know you're there, so hang on. I didn't want to rush your phone call because on the other side, we have 15 minutes commercial free before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the pregame coverage. And I wanted to give you and everyone else who's there following you their time. So again, for the openings, 610-632-0975. Hang tight. We come right back. We take your phone calls before Sixers basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. Our final segment here as we get ready for Sixers Hawks basketball. 7:30. Brian Seltzer with the pregame starting at 7:20. So we'll give out the numbers 610-632-0975. Doug Peterson, no longer the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. The search is now on for his replacement. And your thoughts on the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, speaking about Doug Peterson out, but Howie Roseman seems safe. your thoughts. 610-632-0975. So let's go back to the phones. Let's check in with Greg in Deptford, who's been hanging on patiently. Greg, how you doing, my man?
Hey,
you're here,
Craig,
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, thanks a lot, Devon. It's Craig.
What's up, Craig?
I had a couple of points. A couple of things. The first point is, I think Howie got a pass off the Chip Kelly stuff. That's what I think happened. I mean, it's no rhyme or reason that anybody can muster up or why he's here. I just think that he got the short end of the stick on the Chip Kelly thing, and this was the makeup call, right? That's just my personal opinion. The second issue that I have is that, like Mike Missanelli was saying, he kind of just talked down to the people as if the fans are not passionate or knowledgeable about draft picks and things of that nature. And so he's just kind of out of his element. I think one of your other callers said that you kind of need a GM, personnel guy, coaches, whatever have you. I don't think he should have did the press conference because he's so detached. But at the same time, I do agree with the other caller that I think Doug needed to go, but it wasn't just Doug. The other issue, the third piece that I wanted to talk about was Deuce Staley. Like, I don't understand why these guys who are pivotal in the history of this franchise, the Dawkins, and, you know, maybe those guys don't want to be coaches, but Deuce is on the sideline, and I see him in Deptford all the time. So it's like they're local people. They know what the people want, but it just seems like their names really never come up other than just being a candidate on a piece of paper.
Yeah, that one is weird with Deuce. He will get an interview. He will get, and I mean in the past, and he brought him up here earlier today as well. He'll get an interview. He'll get all of those things, but he'll also only get the title of associate head coach and not be allowed to be the offensive coordinator. Sure, he has his hands with Stoutland in the running game, but shouldn't that be his call? Shouldn't that be what he, you know, at the end of the day, shouldn't that be what he hangs his hat on there, is giving him an opportunity as an offensive coordinator? And I'm sure if other people wanted to give him a shot, they wouldn't grant it. So,
right. It reminds me a lot of, and I always make the analogy with Deuce, is like I think he got like something like 32 years or something like that in the NFL mm-hmm. as a player and, you know, just as involved. But he's kind of like the Patrick Ewing of the NBA. Like, you just don't, you're a great player, but you just don't get the love at the next level for whatever reason it may be. It's just evident. But I wanted to know how you felt about that Howie Roseman piece that I was saying off the Chip Kelly makeup call, because I really think that that's what this, nothing else makes sense.
Yeah, so. but how long do you hang on that? You did that already by giving him the job, giving him the extension. Then he does, in fact, help win the Super Bowl, so that's fantastic. That's enough clout and enough juice right there. But if you're going to reevaluate, then reevaluate. So you might be right. You might be right. I mean, because the owner doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing. So you could very well be right on that one, Greg. Listen, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. We want to give everybody again an opportunity
to speak here.
Oh, no problem. No problem, Craig. Appreciate it, man. Let's go to Los Angeles next and check in with our friend Gerald here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay? What's going on?
Hey, Devon. How you doing?
Good, man. We've had plenty of conversations about Doug Peterson. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so first off, man, thank you, Doug, for your service. No hard feelings, man. You are a big part of the reason why we got to the promised land and got that Lombardi trophy. But at the same time, I just saw too many decisions. Like, you can blame Howie all you want, but Howie wasn't the one out there trying to pass the ball 70% of the time against teams that were 28th against the run. Howie wasn't the guy gambling too much on third and fourth down. I just think Doug, I don't know if it was he lost too many assistants that kind of, he lost his bearings, or if he just kind of got lost, you know, because he didn't have an OC. But I just saw, and I hate to say this word, but I saw a lot of like numbskull type decisions at times, and it was just time for a change. So thank you. I wish you the best. Like he said, he wishes Philly the best, but it was just time for that, you know?
Yeah, and look, I'm not heartbreaking. I'm not devastated. I would say right now that I thought Doug would be back. I remember, G, we did a show, and I remember us speaking to you as well. We did this show when it came to seeing how everything was starting to go downhill, and the season was what it was going to be. We were going to have an off season earlier than we wanted it. And I remember doing the show about the biggest thing that needs to happen is the coach and the quarterback have to get back on the same page, because it's going to be hard to move on from Carson Wentz. And it looked like Doug would at least get one more year to figure this out with the success that he's had three of the five seasons. He'll get another shot. And clearly here that's not the case, man. That is not the case. So I've had my ups and downs with Doug. He ticks me off sometimes with his two-point calls, his fourth downs, when he decides to go with it, the lack of running the game, the balance not being there. But for the most part, I liked him, but I'm not losing sleep over him losing the job. I'm angry because of how, okay, fine, he has shown enough for them to want to move on from him, but so has the general manager.
Well, let me say two things. I kind of feel like Doug was given rope with not hiring an OC, and they gave him just enough rope to tie himself up and get himself fired. But when it comes to the GM, clearly, like, Howie hasn't gotten the job done in so many ways, but I don't really understand the structure. And when I say that, I hear conflicting reports. You know, is the owner meddling? Was Howie saying, hey, we should take some of these dudes, and the owner overruled them? Or was owner ruling, you know, siding with the coaches, which we know he did with Chip Kelly before? And maybe Howie's behind the scenes going, yo, we should have taken some of these other guys, and they didn't. So maybe he's getting a mulligan because maybe the owner or the coaches were wrong. I don't know. Knowing Lori, he didn't want to fire both of them because that was too much change for him. And the one thing he knows in the walking into a year where there's $60 million over the cap is that Howie's probably one of the best dudes in the league to help them over the next 12 months figure out how to deal with that specific problem.
Okay.
Well, I'm not saying it was the right decision, but I think that's why he made that decision.
Yeah, well, some would say that's not the right decision, to your point, because of the situation that they find themselves in going into this offseason with so much cap issue and the lack of flexibility that they're going to have. Yes.
One of the things that was interesting, because Lori's thing was kind of rambling and he dodged some questions, but
oh, 100%.
One of the things that he said that was interesting was he said, because remember when he fired Chip Kelly, it was about emotional intelligence, right? And it was part of the Chip Kelly thing was Chip
emotional
Kelly
intelligence.
Yeah, arrogant, didn't care about anybody but himself. One of the things that Lori said tonight was, well, we won that Super Bowl, and there were a lot of people that were injured, and we wanted to bring a lot of people back and give them an opportunity. So I'm kind of feeling like part of what this situation that we're in with some of these contracts that we signed, and I think Lori, that emotional intelligence thing and him saying we wanted to bring these people back that were a big part of, might have been Lori having some sentimental and saying, let's take care of these guys, and how he kind of got saddled with that. And I don't know for sure.
Well, so did Doug then, because they were on the field and Doug had to play them. So did Doug. So the fairness, once again, stands out. Gee, we got to go, man. We really appreciate it. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you for sure as this story continues to develop. Let's take one more call if we can. Let's get Derek on the cell. We'll try to squeeze in Mike, but let's definitely get Derek in here right here. I'm sorry? Let's go to Mike then. Let's go to Mike in Abington here on The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Devon. You guys, I'll do a good job.
Thank you so much.
I guess I think saw it coming with Doug, and I think he did a great job here, and he did have his bonehead calls at times. My question is more Howie related. Now that Doug's gone, because I don't trust him at all to fill any of the multiple holes we have. I mean, we have a lot of need, and what do you think his shelf life is? How hot is his seat in staying here? Because I guess
it's unclear, right, Mike? Because you heard how the owner just said that he still feels like there's confidence in the the general manager, the fact that he surrounds himself with so many good people. He started talking about all of that stuff. It's hard to really say, because we would have thought that at the very least they would bring in people to help him out. And maybe that's the case when you talk about John Dorsey, and he mentioned Dorsey during that time that he spoke, Jeffrey Lurie, but he didn't do anything. He just sat there and talked about how great he is. So I don't know. I don't know if he has one more year, two more years, if he's going to give him a full time to rebuild this thing. Mike, I have no clue. And it's unfortunate, man. No, listen, I understand that, you know, you're speechless and you want answers, but we unfortunately, I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know, Mike.
I just feel like I would have gotten rid of Howie first and given Doug longer.
And if not, both of them go. Both.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're tied together.
Yeah.
Listen, man, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Wish I could answer you better. Thank you. Thanks to everybody who gave us a call during this first hour in 12 minutes. We are going to now hand things off to Brian Seltzer of Sixers.com for the pregame coverage. Sixers undermanned yet again, taking on the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta. Trae Young and company. Little stuff going on out there. So maybe the Sixers can steal one. I don't know. But anyway, Dylan McKinnon, thanks so much, man. When we come back, after the game, we will go in the post. We'll hear from D. Lineham as well, get her thoughts. But up next, Sixers basketball, Hawks, Sixers in Atlanta, B. Celts pregame coverage next, right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.